Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Technology Podcast on a Tuesday today here. My name is Tom Doherty, your host. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. As we're going to take some time to talk tech news for you today as, we have a big deal between Uber and Toyota to get to. We have some stuff from the AI world, which actually it kind of crossed over with some gaming. We had a AI device from OpenAI, an AI company that created a device that was going to play the video game against other humans, actually, in this international tournament. It actually was Dota 2, which is, you know, the defense against the ancient sequel, kind of, you know, they were spin off of the Warcraft 3. But it's just your normal multiplayer, MOBA, whatever it is, multiplayer online battle arena kind of game where you're having, it's a 5-on-5 game and you're playing against each other, kind of trying to basically destroy the other team's base, known as the Ancient. But the whole point of this technology aspect of it is the fact that they, a company ran out an artificial intelligence device or a, whatever you want to call it, to try and defeat and play this game against the best in the world. And it actually was the best of three match. Two teams of pro gamers did play a squad of AI bots that were actually, so Open AI is a company that was started by created by Elon Musk, and this is his research lab, and this is his brainchild making these bots, these AI bots, to play against some of the best gamers in the world. They did lose. However, it's still a win. The fact that they pushed him to the brink, in the scorecard, it looks like that the, if you want to call it as, it's, there's like little, obviously you have a game scorecard, you have the gameplay, but then you have like the virtual scorecard of, you know, how is AI stacking up against humans, artificial intelligence versus human intelligence. And, artificial intelligence actually has gotten some good little victories, made some moves in recent times, actually did, most notable was the defeat. It did defeat the world's best Go players. It's no Pokemon Go. This is Google's AlphaGo. So they played this game. It's a AlphaGo shot. This is the one Go player. It must be. So this is kind of a game in play and over in Asia that this Google AI bot defeated the world's number one player in this game called Go. So it's the first part of a 3-part match. AlphaGo did beat a Korean legend back over a year ago 4-1, and they did. I mean, this is obviously the reputation. You have Go and chess. What is Go? Looks like it's a game that it's with dots and it's on a board, I guess. It's it can't be that game where you make up the boxes. Hold on, I need to look up to see what this Go board game is, because it's going to bother me. Strategy game, two players, and you want to surround the territory of your opponent. Okay, so that's basically what it is. You place little things on the table, and you want to try and, yeah, it's 19. The game pieces are played in lines and intersections, and you want to try and move it around. All right, just trying to familiarize myself with that very simple. It's more of a simplified game, but still complex. I mean, chess, technically, if you think about it, is simple in some aspects. The fact that there's only so many pieces and you only can move them a certain way, but there's obviously very much a lot of strategy, a lot of different ways of attack and defense and stuff like that that you have to take into it. And I'm sure that's how it is in that Go game that I was just talking about. So It's just the abstract strategy board game for two players. And that's what happened. This AI is able to defeat some of the best players in the world at that game. And now they're getting it. That's obviously super simple. It's more like, you know, take over this whole board with one color versus, you know, you're playing in a game 5-on-5 with other people and they have their own characters and they're able to use their characters' strengths and weaknesses to try. Well, not weaknesses, but use your weaknesses to try and defeat you. So it looks like that. I mean, obviously, this is a situation where in this was this Dota 2, they did defeat Elon Musk's the OpenAI did not win. It didn't win, but it's still a win for AI in itself, showing that now you're able to kind of have this litmus test for AI and artificial intelligence, and the fact that it's able to be integrated into this game, a very complex battle game where lots of different things happen, lots of variables. It's all real time. Dota is very similar. I would say it's super similar to Fortnite, but in the gameplay aspect of it, where you are in a battle mode, yes, it is the same, very similar. I think you can call Fortnite one of those MOBA multiplayer online battle arena games. So, I mean, you can call it, that's basically what Fortnite is too. And now you're having an AI ability to go in there and take over a character and be able to make decisions and make quick snap judgments on certain things. And that's what you have to do in those kind of games because it's all real time. Do I go over here? Do I go over there? Do I shoot? Do I jump? What do we do over this side? Okay, we're going to take the base. Okay, they're weak. You know, it's all a strategy. But it's also a lot of quick strategy instead of over the time planning out your moves like you would in a chess match or in that Go game where you can, it's very much more deliberate and you have your time to take your turn versus this. It's all going on at the same time. Everybody's taking their turn out once and you got to figure it out. I mean, they did lose. It looks like that it's just a bump in the road, apparently, for this AI process. And it looks like that, you know, they did lose, but it's going to be this way where you gotta break through the ceiling. You reach the ceiling, you gotta break back through it. And Stephen Merity, a machine learning researcher and also a fan of the game, was the one that said that there it was just a bump in the road on the way to having a fully functional AI that can effectively play these games and effectively win. It looks like that, of course. Unpacking why we had our humans won last week or not, or whether they could, it's kind of a growing point of where these guys who created these bots are like, oh, we wanted them. Obviously, I mean, you think it's AI. They can just program them with like patterns in the game that could help them. No, well, it's all real time. There's really not very many patterns. It's very abstract in itself, just like the other game where it's not very much patterns to undertake because everything's happening all at the same time. Everybody's doing whatever they want to do, and you can't predict what a normal person's going to do. I mean, you can try and predict strategy, what the idea of a plan of attack could be possibly, but that's just like anybody else. So I wouldn't do that if I was playing against somebody else. Like, okay, they're going to try and do this. Okay, they might try and do that. That's try and predict their strategy versus like literally predicting a pattern and being able to like, you know, systematically go against what they're trying to do. Would you think a computer could do that? Which is why you have like CPU and like one player games where yes, it could be, you change the difficulty, the computer can be more the in-game computer, you know, not AI. This is just for CPU where, you know, you're playing one-on-one, where like say for me, a perfect example, I'm playing Madden by myself and there's two teams. Like, this is football, you know, we're changing these games here, but still video games, you know, just you playing against another person versus playing against a computer. This is actually technically the AI is acting as if it's another person, it's a third party. It's not part of the game. It's not been integrated into the game. It has no code from the game. It's a third party, and it's just playing the game as if you'd have a human play it. And it looks like that that's kind of the thing. So it looks like when you learn, this is kind of a trial and error thing. It's you can go back to the basics when it comes to just, you know, basic experimentation with things, and it's a lot of trial and error. That's how AI is moved forward. It looks like they did have five different bots which operated independently. They were trained with the same algorithms, but they all operated independently while playing the game, or where they were taught to play using taught to play the game using this term called technique called reinforcement learning. That's what they call it, as it is a common method that is used, like I said, a trial and error on a huge scale kind of thing. It's like, oh, that's not right. Okay, let's fix that. Okay, let's try that. Let's try a different way. I know trial and error is kind of hard because you're like, okay, that didn't work. That didn't work. That didn't work. Now what? Okay, we're going to try that now. See if it works or not. And of course, it has weaknesses, but it does produce results in the fact that you are going to eventually have a trial where there's not going to be any errors. And you're like, oh, crap, we just created a supercomputer AI device that's going to be able to beat everybody. It did say that it crammed 180 years of training time, which is insane, into each day. I don't know how that would be possible. If that's the truth, this is the truth. Obviously, they have to play the game at an accelerated rate. And other ways like that, but how would they cram 180 years of training time into one day? Looks like that the CTO and co-founder of OpenAI, that's Greg Brockman, did tell one of my favorite outlets for tech media, tech news, that's The Verge, that if it takes a human. It says a human 100. This is his quote: 100 human lifetimes of experience every single day. Every day, obviously, it says it takes a human 12,000 to 20,000 hours to perfect something. You know, to become a master at a certain skill. But that's what a computer is doing. That's what this bot's doing, like in a minute, seemingly. Obviously, the reason why. It's so much more than that because this game is way more. I talked about it. The fact it's way more than a board game. A board game, like that Go game, it's you have stones on the table and you're moving them along these vertical and horizontal lines and you're trying to move them around so you can try and corner a piece of the board and that's all it is, kind of capturing a big part of the board. Versus the Dota game where you have five variables out there floating around doing whatever they want, attacking, defending. You have to go attack them. I mean, it's times five. So you also have five bots. It's 5v5, and it's just super ultra complex. And it looks like that the main issue was that. Obviously, this is. I don't think it was a main issue, but it looks like that each game. Where the antiquity of the battle is different every time, whether you're having issues with the territory, you're having issues batting against different opponents and struggling to get out of to outmaneuver them and such. It's all kind of goes into that one processing system. He's like, oh, I got to figure this all out, and obviously all this data can be processed so that you can play the game faster than you would in real life. I mean, that's what I'm kind of thinking. Like, so how do the computers actually in real time play on the screen? Like, how do they get the guys who play these bots to the bots play ahead of time? And then like, I don't know how they did it. They did it so much faster. That's what I was still trying to figure out. We have another quote here from. About a OpenAI, this is from Andriy Krankov, a PhD student at Stanford, who is studying. The editor of this is the editor of the AI site Skynet Today of all names. That's actually pretty cool. But a student at Stanford did say, this is a quote: as far as showcasing the level of complexity modern data-driven AI approaches can handle, OpenAI 5 is far more impressive than either DQN or AlphaGo. That's the AlphaGo. That's the Google bot that played that Go board game, and obviously won a lot of matches against some of the best players in the world. But obviously, you think that if a game can completely, or a Dota is obviously way more complex, and it's barely going to lose. I don't know how close it was to winning, but it did lose to the humans. But that complex of a game, you can throw the AI into something way more simplistic, like a board game, even though it does have strategy and stuff like that, but it's just more simplistic in its own sense. Yeah, you think it'd win a bunch of times. Obviously, it's Andriy Kurenkov is the student there. I wanted to pronounce his name right. And of course, so TQN is Deep Mind's AI system that teach yourself to play Atari. And that's kind of what he was referring to there. And I said AlphaGo is that company from Google that was playing that Go board game, the, you know, very popular board game overseas. All right. That'll wrap it up for this talk on the AI stuff. I know that it's all very much in your heads. Like, oh, I want to go play this AI thing. Yeah, you should. It's pretty fun. And so maybe I don't know what we're working towards. Are we going to work towards Elon Musk selling bots so we can have friends to play with or something like that? If we're running out of friends, hey, just play this virtual bot, AI bot, to see if you can beat him. I don't know what the whole point. Obviously, I think it's all kind of going towards the next big thing that we'll be talking about on the show. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast on a Tuesday. Today here is now we're going to go over some stuff regarding Uber and the deal that it's made with Toyota. Actually, a $500 million deal with Toyota that is made that will help them with their driverless car group there at Uber. As I mean, it's funny. So first, Uber takes all the jobs away from the taxi drivers, or at least gives them a quiet run for their money with the ride sharing. You know how everything all changed over with that. But now they're going towards self-driverless cars, which will eliminate the need to. I mean, I don't know. They're going to have their own cars, and it's difficult. It's difficult to fathom because the whole point of their thing was driverless cars using other people's cars to drive. So what are people going to? You're going to start having driverless cars, and then what? You're going to make your own Uber driverless cars, and you can order an Uber and have it come pick you up. I feel like driverless cars, though. And it's not only is it years down the road, obviously, no pun intended. It's going to be something that requires majority usage, as I'm going to say. It's kind of I'm trying to think of a term here, but like you watch like Star Wars, all those cars flying around. You ever seen a simulation of what people think it's going to look like when we have all autonomous vehicles? It's going to be like no traffic lights. People are going to be zipping by each other by feet. I mean, just missing. We're never going to stop. It's all going to be computerized at intersections and everything like that. It's supposed to eliminate traffic, blah, 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 and all that good stuff. But it requires every single person. No, you can't have any driver cars. You have to get rid of all driver cars and go completely autonomous. Because that's why I think that we're having so many issues with autonomous cars is because there's too many variables. It's not quick. It's not quick enough to react. Things can happen in the slightest of times, split second times, and there's all human error is a major part of it, major part of it. And it's interesting to see a big auto dealer, maybe Toyota, making a deal with Uber. So when they do come out with their own self-driving cars, they're all going to be Toyotas, I guess. Maybe they're all going to be Toyotas. So when you order a Uber and it's a self-driving Uber, so you just get in it and it takes you, whisks you away. It'll be a Toyota, I guess. It's just, would you rather get in an Uber, self-driving Uber, or would you rather get in an Uber driven by somebody else, like tomorrow, or maybe not tomorrow, maybe like still in a year or two? It still is going to be kind of weird, I think, because we have all these things that have happened negatively when it comes to self-driving cars, and now you're going to put it into ride-sharing, you're going to put it on Uber to create these self-driving cars and then take away more jobs from the people that they gave them to originally. I mean, that's their whole thing. It's the side hustle. It's the make the money. It's their whole slogan with Uber. That's their whole gimmick, as make extra money, be your own boss, is the kind of thing. Except Uber is the boss, I feel. There's no person calling you or telling you what to do or being in your ear or holding you late or something like that. Obviously, you make your own hours. That's very well known. But still, there's still things that can happen where you can be affected by the company that you do work for. You're representing Uber. You have their sticker on the car, using their app. You're representing them as a person that they will give you rides. So yes, you have a reputation to uphold. But then again, they also could change and affect your own ways of doing your own things. And if they do eventually down the road further, no pun intended again, but still, it's funny. Down the road, I'll say it again, when we get to the self-driving cars, they're just going to be taking away that opportunity from people to make their side hustle or be their own boss. It's all going to go away. It's like, here it is. Oh, but we're trying to develop you out. Obviously, it's going to take a while. It's going to take its time, which is why nobody really cares. Nobody really is like, oh my God, they're gunning for my Uber job already. Like, Uber's already trying to eliminate us, which, I mean, they in effect are, but they know that it's going to be a while and they're not really rushing towards doing that whatsoever. They want to be able to get, they're trying to grow their base, I think, still, and get more and more people using their own cars to rideshare and help people. I mean, it's a great, honestly, there's multiple reasons why the idea worked. Obviously, it's big enough for, it's also a big enough market for two companies. Lyft has gotten right up there. I mean, you can check. I mean, I think Uber probably does have them out. If you want to just talk about brass tacks and finance, Uber probably has earned more than them. But I always checked Lyft and Uber to see who is cheaper. Usually the prices are very similar, but there is a bit of a disparity, and one will be cheaper than the other. It's not always the same one. Lyft is not always cheaper than Uber. Uber is not always cheaper than Lyft. It goes back and forth. And it's good to have a competition that you don't want to, I mean, in a market like that where you're ride sharing, I know it's just crazy how many people use it, whether it's Lyft or Uber or whatever they call, however they call it. I've heard people say they're going to get a Lyft and they get an Uber, and they've heard people say they're going to get an Uber and they get a Lyft. So it's all the same kind of thing. The fact that they're both four letters and a very, I mean, it's clever. You know, the people who created these companies and marketed it all are smart cookies and they know what they're doing. So it's interesting that they can make a deal now in 2018, nearing the end of 2018, making a deal for $500 million with Toyota to go towards the self-driving aspect of it. I mean, it's obviously a lot of R&D from Toyota. I think it's a deal. It makes sense if Toyota was giving them that money to develop their self-driving and then assume that they're going to be using Toyota vehicles to implement that self-driving feature and use it in their apps. Because, I mean, that's what we're going towards. I think Uber may be ahead of the game of Lyft and maybe seeing that in 5-10 years when we're going to really be going towards these self-driving vehicles. And the fact that you already see a car maker, one of the biggest ones in the world, get involved with it as well, you know that there's no messing around here. This is not a pipe dream. This is not something that, oh, that'd be cool. No, it's going to be happening probably in the next decade or so. We're going to be seeing people not driving themselves around. They're going to be driven around by computers and autonomous vehicles. I think that if you want to listen to some of the stuff I've talked about before with autonomous vehicles, obviously we did address some of the negative things that happened. And when people lose their lives, we want to touch it lightly, but we do have to acknowledge it. There have been deaths involved in the testing of self-driving cars. However, Elon Musk has come out and said that they've run. I mean, you look at these numbers and you look at how you can eliminate other accidents and other deaths on the roads and other injuries and life-changing acts and happenings during the day. You know, if you can get that, great. If it's going to take more and more time, then take that time. So we don't have we want to change. We need to see a drastic change. We don't need to see a little of the change. We need to see a drastic change. And if what Elon Musk says, it should be a drastic change where we have a lot of accidents, and you could narrow it down by what did he say, like 70% or something like that, which is crazy. With self-driving cars, I mean, yeah, how long have they been testing them for? And we've had what, three accidents, two deaths, I think. And there's, I mean, obviously there's deaths every day with when it comes to motor accidents and stuff like that. So yes, I understand that if you want to look at the numbers, one thing, and if one, when one negative thing happens for a bad, when it, with a bad thing, a new thing and a bad thing go to come together, it can get, it can go bad, real bad, because it's new. It's like, oh, you didn't know you, it's new. Why didn't you test it more? Why didn't you do this, this, and this? Oh, okay. Well, he knew what he was doing. Okay. We're not going to go into the whole, we talked about that months ago when it actually happened, the accident in Cupertino, but you know, Uber, I think it's going to be interesting. Uber getting involved, getting a massive car company on them and getting the money from them is really pointing me towards the direction that we're headed, or really telling me that we're pointing towards the direction that is very positive for self-driving cars. I mean, you can actually, if we want to continue talking about self-driving cars, Waymo is the other company that is doing the same kind of thing, where they're going to be doing the self-driving taxis. That's Google's company, as they have the self-driving taxi that it's ready to start charging. Apparently, they have all these. They have a bunch of them. Google does, and they're all vans. And they charge itself for self-driving trips, but first it needs to... yeah, fleet management, of course, is the biggest deal. Is another deal, obviously, that you have to deal with. That's what this article from TechPort is saying. This is actually from The Verge, saying that, I mean, you have a day in the life of a Waymo self-driving taxi. Obviously, I think this is on a smaller level. Obviously, Google has its parent is Alphabet, which is the parent of Waymo as well. It's housing a growing fleet of self-driving cars. Hundreds of this is actually these are all Chrysler Pacifica minivans that have been obviously fitted with advanced hardware and software that will enable them to drive on public roads without a driver. Obviously, this is not quite. I mean, I don't know where we're going. This is obviously, I'm saying 5-10 years. The fact that they've already had these cars made already, they're just sitting in a warehouse. It looks like this is Waymo is trying to the first fully driverless taxi service in the world, which is basically why you have that Uber deal with Toyota, because they're trying to catch up. Well, they're not trying to catch up, but they're trying to get on the same bandwagon as Waymo, who basically Waymo is that's what they're doing. That's the whole company. They aren't even going to go towards this having people drive for you. They're letting Uber and Lyft do all that kind of stuff, and they're really going to focus on getting this depot outfitted with as many cars as they can, I guess. I mean, this is a very nondescript depot in Arizona that for over a year, Waymo has been offering trips to 400 plus members in its early rider program that has been able to summon minivans for trips to school and the mall, gym, whatever, wherever you need to go in that in the area, Phoenix area. So I guess they've been using it. This is the 400 people that have been in this early rider program for a year. So, I mean, that's on a small scale, yes, but the fact that we're already seeing self-driverless taxis maybe means that I need to move up my count. I say a decade because I'm assuming that it's going to take everybody to have autonomous cars for it to really work. But, you know, if they can get it to work like this, where they have the technology to have it self-driving in on public roads with other cars, that's the problem. I think that's the biggest problem for these self-driving cars, is the fact that you have to deal with so many other variables. You'll have so many sensors at once. You can react so quickly. You have human error involved in a lot of different things that happen on the roads, and also things that people, they don't follow traffic laws all the time. They don't follow traffic laws to the T. They get away with things. They turn right on a red when they're not supposed to. They go over. They don't stop all the way at the red light when you're turning right or something like that. You change lanes. You go in the bike lane. You don't look over your shoulder. All these different things. Just listing a general that people might not do that you're supposed to do, but it's a little ticky-tacky kind of thing. Is that car going to take that into account? What about in California? They have a word for it. It's called the California stop. Cali stop means you kind of roll through a stop sign. I'm not saying, I'm not condoning it. I'm not telling you that you should do it. I'm just saying that's what, it's got its own colloquialism. That means it's kind of a thing that people do here. Are those cars going to know about that? Like, hey, they didn't really stop all the way at the stop sign. What's it going to assume? And the fact that we're having this in the Phoenix area, obviously. So for the this early rider program, they do have a. So it looks like at the outset, the company Well, with the fully autonomous rides, they're going to have with a Waymo employee in the car only as a chaperone. Okay. Just kind of seeing what they're doing here. That's the from this Verge, the article from the Verge. I'm just kind of get an idea of what they're doing here. Obviously, this is a huge depot, obviously, and they're giving a lot of exclusive details to the Verge as, of course, they want to try and make this, quote unquote, first fully driverless taxi service in the world. And of course, this is the launch to the commercial ride sharing service this year. So whether it's going to be, so it says that obviously we have, they've been offering trips to these early riders, but then also when they get it fully autonomous, they're going to have an employee, I guess. I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, I guess maybe they, instead of hire, like Uber, I guess maybe it could be the same thing where you have an Uber driver, but they're going to be just sitting in the back. Hey, it'll drive by itself. It's interesting. Chaperone. All right. We'll come back after the break and we'll do some talk on the new messaging app from Google and how it's going to be available for more people now more than ever. So everybody stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast on a Tuesday today here as we're talking a little bit more about the stuff going around the tech world as Google actually has come out with the new app for, well, they have had it. It's Google Duo. It's their video messaging app, and now it's available for tablets, which makes a lot of sense because it's much more fun to video chat whoever you want to video chat on a tablet, whether it's your friends, family, or otherwise work stuff like that. It's more fun to message on a tablet like that, or at least video chat on a tablet like that, because screen's bigger and you get a little more leeway. You can actually have your phone in your hand while you don't have to use your phone and have to pause it every time you want to go and do something on your phone. You could just have it in your hand and just on your iPad or whatever tablet that you are using. It's now available on there, so which is pretty cool. That's one of the updates I wanted to give you guys, as this is basically going to be our update segment here. Not really going to go too deep into talking about it, but it looks like that back to the self-driving taxis, we have, like I said, Waymo is one of them. Now Lyft is going to get into it. Why do you think that Uber was so hell-bent on getting funding from Toyota? Now Lyft and an app called Aptiv have completed 5,000 paid trips for their self-driving taxis. The thing is, I don't know where these are going. That's the thing. Like, yeah, the 5,000 trips, where? Like, I know Waymo's in Phoenix, Cruise is in San Francisco, Voyage is in Florida. So those are all, I guess you can, when I'm in SF next, I'm trying Cruise because I want to try and see what it's like to have a self-driven taxi, because I just think that it's really crazy that, I mean, I don't know, I guess we're going, if it's staying on city streets, not that big of a deal, but I get a little nervous a little bit, at least. Looks like the Lyft and Aptiv's fleet did have 20 vehicles along the Las Vegas Strip. They also had 75 vehicles kept in the city by Aptiv. That's actually, so it looks like that was just kind of kept on site. But it looks like that it's going to be all these. It has to be set destinations that are preset. They're adding more destinations onto it, and this is the Jody, this is what the, who is this? This product lead for the self-driving platform for Lyft. This is Jody Kelman. This is what their this is his their quote saying, "We really want this to be something accessible to all Lyft passengers in Las Vegas." So, yeah, they're going city by city. Considering everyone from your grandma to the bachelorette party. So, yeah, this is what they're starting. I think this is what the whole key is of starting these. Like, you know, have all these different cruises in San Francisco, voyages in Florida. What was the other one that I just said? Waymo's in Phoenix. I just went over that all of last segment. Duh. Or the first segment. But, you know, it's last segment. It's interesting that now we're going to have all these different companies in different cities. And then what happens when it all integrates? Like, what if I want to get, like, the best thing I think would be to get a cross country self-driving car that could take you all the way across country. It'll even go park itself into a, if it's a, make it an electric car, or if it's a, even if it's a gas car, it's fine. You pull over and just alert you, hey, pump the gas, I'll get back in the car, we'll fall back asleep and we'll drive you, keep you driving across. I'm basically, I mean, if you're comfortable in a car for 2 days straight, you don't have to drive. That's easy. Maybe throw a bed in the back. I don't know. It's just gonna be interesting to see how this is. I mean, of course, you're gonna extrapolate further and further and further. Of course, I'm thinking about, oh, self-driving cars, that means you can you can fall asleep on an airplane, but but people who are afraid of flying and stuff like that, I guess it's a kind of a niche thing. But, you know, for getting here to there, there's still going to be traffic. You can, what's the difference? I don't know. What's the difference between somebody driving you and a self-driving car driving you? Like, really? Uber was a great idea. Yes, it did give a hit to the taxi cab industry. But, you know, that's kind of just, you know, Darwinism, I think, more than anything else, and just social evolution of how everything is now on our phones. I remember I did a big, if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to my huge, I did a big, like, almost like paying homage to the App Store, the Google App Store, the Apple App Store, when it hit its 10-year anniversary a couple months ago or a few weeks ago. I did a big long talk about how everything, all this stuff would not have happened. No App Store, no Snapchat, no Instagram, No Uber, no Lyft, no Google, no Apple Wallet. I mean, all these different apps. No ordering your phones. I mean, I could stand outside of a baseball stadium right now and order tickets and go walk into the stadium in 2 seconds. So it used to be a big plane tickets, all this kind of stuff. Buying a car. They have these car buying apps now that are on your phone like that. Everything that's been able to come down to a smaller thing. Less. I mean, I guess like the whole point of the taxi cab thing is less human interaction, where it's also taking cars off the road. So you're using, it's, I think the best idea from the Uber was the fact that, yes, lower emissions, because you're using cars that are already going to be on the road versus taxis that are always on the road, seemingly. And they're only on the road for one thing, just driving around looking for people to pick up, versus Uber, you're driving around looking for people to pick up or not. You can get alerted. You don't have to wait for somebody to flag you down. You just got a little alert. You can sit in a parking lot for the whole night if you wanted to, and wait for a ride. But obviously they don't do that. I'm assuming they just kind of stick around the same area and they just wait for a ride or a person that needs a ride. But during those high volume times and everything, that's not a big issue, and especially in big cities too. But, you know, that's a good mark right there. The fact that we've had now, so what was it, 400 users? I don't know if we don't have actual data on how many rides they've given, but 400 users using that early rider thing for Waymo to get them from school to school or whatever it is going to be in Phoenix. In Vegas, you have Lyft and the company they're working with, which is Aptiv, and they have 5,000. They've given 5,000 rides. I'm not sure if I'm at the MGM Grand. I need to go to the Bellagio. That's like 200 yards. Does that count as a ride? I don't know. It's not very far up the strip, but I guess maybe MGM Grand to like the fashion show mall or something like that. Then maybe, yeah. Then that's a bit of a jaunt up Las Vegas or up Las Vegas Boulevard, but. I digress on that part of it. It's interesting to see that there's all these different they have to beta them out in these smaller areas. I need to check out Voyage next time I'm in San Francisco and see if I actually get a car with no driver in it. I mean, the fact that they're actually, Waymo is saying they're going to give you when it first starts for the masses, it's, they're going to give you a chaperone. You get a chaperone for the early rider program? That's my question. It's just interesting how this is all going to get to work. But, you know, obviously, they're keeping it from, this guy, obviously, the product lead for Lyft is kind of, you know, they know they're focusing on Las Vegas right now, making it the best for Las Vegas before it goes deeper into the other stuff as well. All right, moving on to the next thing. If you use Google Fit, it's going to be redesigned with new new rings, kind of like your if you have an Apple Watch, it has the rings to track your health and stuff like that. Whether you're walking, standing, sitting, all kind of stuff, it'll track your stuff. And then of course you have the new, it's very kind of a copycat. But then of course it has the, you know, the app that connects to it and show you the rings and shows you how further you need to go or how well you've done on your job working out there. All right. Now moving on, the next thing, as I just saw this, I'm like, oh, of course this is going to happen. Net neutrality, of course, is being threatened by our government, current government right now, and the FCC is taking away certain things. But we've already had now 22 states, attorneys general representing 22 states, and the District of Columbia, which actually I'm surprised it's actually not more than 22. But so far have asked the federal court to reinstate net neutrality. It's not really, it hasn't really gone, nothing's happened of it since it has happened. But I mean, the fact that we have a Republican Congress and a Republican president, they should know that states' rights are paramount. And the fact that if they're really going to get strong arming into the states, it's going to be kind of a big government, which is not the whole point of republicanism. It's small government, and is local government, state government is key. And when you have states like California and other big states, like, I mean, I'm trying to see who, if actually, New York Attorney General Barbara Underwood did leave the brief actually, and was joined from, I'll give you the states here, including Maine, Illinois, Iowa, New Mexico, and California. Obviously, California is already, I know that for this for a fact, is actually starting its own neutrality bill for this, I think, for even this election for in November. They're going to have their own statewide net neutrality. Which is going to be interesting as well, because, you know, obviously these internet providers are not state by state; they're worldwide. So, I mean, if it's going to be Comcast or AT&T or all the little subsidiaries or some of the smaller ones, we'll see if the state laws can actually affect those when the federal government is telling you to do something different. Obviously, the FCC is not by any part a, I mean, I'm trying to think what they're regulatory. It's a regulatory. It's a commission. It's a commission. So it doesn't really have much teeth. It's kind of a guideline situation here. Well, yes, they are stripping these guidelines away, but it is going to take an act of Congress in order for us to take completely strip away net neutrality and allow these internet service providers to toggle or charge independently individually for each thing. I mean, you've seen what they have overseas in different countries when it comes to net neutrality and the lack thereof. It can get kind of scary where you're actually getting charged monthly for every single service that you use, and just to get internet to it, not just to, so you're paying $10 a month for Netflix and you're going to pay $7 more a month to get the internet for Netflix. It's definitely interesting that they can treat different things. I mean, that's the whole point, is that Netflix is equal to YouTube and YouTube is equal to this little website on the that nobody here has heard of, and that little website is equal to Vimeo, and that website's equal to this. It's all the same. Everything's equal. Internet service providers can't use, that's the whole point. The whole point of it is, like, so if net neutrality was stripped, they could say, oh, this site gets more traffic. Why don't we charge more people to go on this site and use our internet to access this site? Oh, this site gets crazy. YouTube would be insane. If you treated YouTube and charged people to get to access their server or to access the internet to use YouTube more than they would access the internet to use something used way less, then that's how it would work, basically, right there, is just saying, okay, YouTube's used a crazy amount. We're getting so many pings on our server or whatever it is. I'm not sure how to quantitate it, but, you know, this has happened. Users on YouTube are all paying the internet service providers to access YouTube, and they want to get a piece of that because there's so many people using YouTube that you feel like they would pay more to use YouTube if they had to, and that's what they're trying to say here. They're losing money, but, you know, it's actually, net neutrality is a good thing. And the fact that it's causing, it's not saying, hey, sorry for having a popular website sorry for liking this thing. Sorry for using your product to get to this thing. Yeah, which is a problem. We're putting all of our eggs in the internet service provider baskets. Maybe if Google Fiber or whatever they're trying to get to work out is going to go along there where we can, or if you want to take a book and see if anybody has watched Silicon Valley, the show on HBO, there's another website that probably could get dinged, HBO. If you're watching Silicon Valley on HBO, I'm not sure how actually accurate the software is or the actual code of it is, but a decentralized internet. There you go. I don't know how, yeah, it's, I have to go back and look at the show, but think about a decentralized internet and then this wouldn't even be an issue. But net neutrality is not going anywhere. I'd be shocked if it did. There's too many states who are already getting involved and pushing on our on the federal government. And then, you know, if it's all based off of if we still have a Republican president in 2020. All right, I'm going to cut the show right here. We're going to wrap it up for the day, Tuesday, and we're going to come back on Thursday, talk some more tech stuff for you guys. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends. Go on and tweet about it or tweet us at GSMC Tech, and we'll be looking at that. See some stories you want me to cover or something like that, anything like that. We'd love feedback, and we'll use it the best we can. So everybody stay tuned. Everybody have a good... Well, stay tuned, actually, if you want. If you're a football fan, I also am hosting a fantasy football show, which will be available in a few hours or now, if you have listening to it after 11 o'clock. On Tuesday, or in a couple hours if you're listening to it like right now. All right, everybody, have a good day. See you later. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.